Okay, I'd like to thank the organizers for the invitation. It's always nice to be in Potsdam. I'm going to talk about TBA project. We began in March 2007, and I must say that it is not over yet, so we do not really have a conclusive results. But still, this year there was a lot of progress, and we do hope that the problem will be solved well within, say, 2 years. So this is a short outline of my talk. So I start with the infinite J case. Then I discuss how to consider large J, and J is a charge carried by a string. And then I introduce the mirror theory, discuss mirror beta Young equations, formulate string hypothesis, and explain how the TBA equations can be derived by using the string hypothesis. Then I show you a simplified TBA equations, which are much more suitable for analytic and numerical studies than the canonical TBA equations. And finally, I discuss the ground state solution of the TBA equations. And in conclusion, I discuss unsolved problems. So, the starting point is the light cone ADS5 crosses 5 superstring. And it is a model defined on a cylinder of circumference equal to the charge, light cone momentum carried by the string configuration. In the simplest case, the light cone momentum is just equal to the charge J, or to the angular momentum of a string rotating around an equator of S5. When J goes to infinity, so the cylinder is defined on the cylinder, but when the charge J goes to infinity, the cylinder becomes a plane. And as a result, we get a model, a massive model defined on a plane. So since it is a massive model, the asymptotic states and the notion of the S matrix are well defined. And moreover, the model appears to be integrable, and as a result, we have a factorized scattering. So we can try to find the exact S matrix, and then we can also compare it with the spin chain results, so to try to make a contact with the field theory picture. Okay, then the important fact is noticed by Bassert is that in the limit J goes to infinity, the symmetry algebra of the light cone model is extended by two central charges, which depend on the Goldschmidt momentum P. And by using light constraint theory, it is possible to compute the central charges. And then the symmetry algebra fixes the Goldschmidt S matrix up to a scalar factor. And moreover, since the symmetry algebra is a sum of two algebras, PSU2/2, the S matrix, the Goldschmidt S matrix, and I'm talking only about two particle Goldschmidt S matrix, factorizes into a tensor product of SU2/2 invariant S matrices. So each of these S matrices is 16×16 matrix. And S0 is a scalar factor. It is the most important factor because it carries basically the dynamical information about the model. So the symmetry algebra also fixes the dispersion relation, which is of this form. And G here is the string tension, which is related to the coupling constant as square root of lambda divided by 2 pi. So the Hamiltonian, as a result, is written in this form. It has a lattice model structure form. And it can be also uniformized by using torus rapidity variable z by means of these formulas. So the momentum p carried by a particle is identified with the two Jacobi amplitudes of variable z. So the elliptic modulus, the torus, the size of the torus depends on the string tension g. And it has real and imaginary periods denoted as 2 omega 1 and 2 omega 2. So the usual, the convenient parameters, in fact, are parameters x plus minus, and they are defined, they satisfy this quadratic relation. And the momentum is related to this parameter as shown here. E to the IP is just equal to the ratio of x plus over x minus. What is important here is that these parameters x plus minus are meromorphic functions on the Z torus. So here is the SU2/2 matrix. Well, we are not going really to use it. I just want to show you the expression. It is 16×16 matrix. It is PSU2/2 invariant S matrix. So we have to consider tensor product of two such S matrices and then multiply it by the scale factor. And then we will get the scattering matrix of the DS5 cross S5 light cone string theory. So we also have to have these factors, these parameters etas. And these parameters etas are also meromorphic functions on the Z torus. So this object actually is well defined everywhere on the Z torus. The S matrix itself, however, the full light cone S matrix is not a meromorphic function on the Z torus because the scale factor breaks the condition. It's not a meromorphic. Okay, so that's the infinite J story. We know the S matrix, we know the asymptotic spectrum. And then we can discuss the model in, for put on a large circle of circumference J. And in this case, the large J spectrum can be found by using Betajan equations, by imposing the periodicity condition on the wave function. And it leads to the Weissach-Stodacher equations. So in the condensed matter literature, Betajan equations are often called asymptotic beta equations. So these are the usual equations. And in field theory, usually E to the IPJ is put here. So we have just one on one of the side, on the left-hand side or right-hand side. In condensed matter literature, E to the IPJ is put here instead of one. It reflects different conventions, different definitions of the S matrix. So I will be using the conventional field theory definitions. Okay, then once we solve this equation, the energy, which is equal to the dimension, to the conformal dimension of a dual field theory operator, is computed just by using this formula, by summing up the energies of individual particles. But it is well known that it is not the correct answer for finite J. It is known that in field theory there are Rapin interactions, and in field theory there are finite size corrections. Because we put the system on a cylinder. So we definitely know that it is not the right answer. And the way to go beyond this approximation is try to use the Lucius formula and also TBA ideas. And they have been already successfully used to explain exponential corrections in string theory and Rapin effects in field theory. And also, Lucius formulas, as you know, were used to compute five-loop anomalous dimension of Kanish operator and some other operators. So we are going to use this TBA idea. We are going to try to use the TBA idea to find the exact spectrum of the light cone string theory on a DS5 S5. And then if we believe in the IDCFT correspondence, we also know the exact spectrum of N equal 4 Sipang-Mill theory. However, let me stress that it is not a proof of the IDCFT correspondence. We assume that it is working. To have a proof, we would have to solve N equal 4 Sipang-Mill theory, which no one knows how to do. Okay, so this is the idea, the TBA idea, thermodynamic beta ansatz idea. Well, we follow the Malochikov's approach. So basically, the idea is very simple. We consider a theory on a torus of length L of on a torus, and we do a weak rotation and we go to Euclidean theory, and then from this Euclidean theory we can get two Minkowski series. We can either treat space coordinate as space coordinate, or we can treat space coordinate as time coordinate. So we will get two different models. And they are related to each other just by a double weak rotation. So this is the relation. So in the original theory, tau is the world sheet time direction. Sigma is the world sheet space direction. In the mirror theory, sigma tilde is the space direction, and tau tilde is the time direction on the world sheet. But still, the Euclidean theory is the same, and that's why these two models are closely related to each other. So since we have different time direction in the second model, we have different Hamiltonian in general, which we denote by H tilde. And this Hamiltonian gives us the evolution in the so-called mirror theory. And that's what we are interested in, because one can show that the ground state energy of the original theory, defined on a circle of circumference L, is related to the free energy of the mirror theory with temperature 1 over L. And the free energy can be found just by using the Beta-Yang equations, the asymptotic Beta-Ansatz equations for the mirror model, because the radius R goes to infinity in this limit. Well, there is one subtlety here related to the fact that we have fermions in our case. And moreover, light constraint theory has two different sectors. One sector is a sector with periodic fermions, and another one is a sector with antiperiodic fermions. And depending on the sector, we should compute either Witten's index or free energy. So in the case of So the sector with periodic fermions has a BPS vacuum, and that's why people are usually interested exactly in this sector with periodic fermions. So as a result, actually, the object of interest is Witten's index, but not the free energy. Okay, so that's what we did in 2007. So let's compare the two models. So as I said, this is a dispersion relation for particles of the light constraint theory. Q is for a Q particle bound state. So fundamental particles of the light constraint theory can form bound states, and Q is the corresponding number. And then in the mirror theory, the dispersion relation has this form. So it is obtained just from that one by exchanging E and P, by calling E P tilde and P by E tilde, and multiplying this by I. So we see immediately that the momentum here in string theory takes values from minus pi to pi, and the momentum in the mirror theory takes values from minus infinity to plus infinity. As a result, quantum light constraint theory is rather a lattice model, and mirror model is closer to the usual continuum model. And we think that this is the reason why the TBA approach and Luscher's approach works for this case. Then, as you know very well, the Hofmann-Maldacena giant magnet solution lives in the R cross S5 subspace, so the idea is 5 S5 space. In the mirror theory, the corresponding solution, one soliton solution, which should be identified with this mirror magnet, lives in the ADS5 part of the geometry, and that's actually the first sign that the role of the sphere and the ADS5 part are exchanged in these two models. So then, once we have the S matrix for the light constraint theory, we can find the S matrix for the mirror model just by shifting the torus rapidity variables by the quarter of the imaginary period of the torus, and this is very similar to the usual case of relativistic models. In fact, we also have shown that this matrix for the mirror theory is unitary, and the funny fact was that the dressing factor appeared to be non-unitary in the mirror model. It appeared that it satisfied this relation, and this relation, in fact, followed from the crossing equations for the dressing factor. So there is a close relation between crossing symmetry and unitarity of these two models, string theory model and mirror model. Okay, then Bethe-Jahn equations were formulated by Bassert and Staudacher for the case when the total momentum carried by a string is equal to zero. It is just the level matching condition, so all physical configurations must satisfy this condition. In the mirror model, however, we have some extra square root of x plus over x minus factors, and then they are absolutely necessary to have unitarity of the S matrix. If we drop them, then we do not get the right equations. And finally, I mentioned that giant Magnus solution lives here in the ADS5 path. And as a result, actually, bound states are also live in some sense in ADS5 part of the geometry, in the sense that in string theory, bound states belong to symmetric irreducible representations, and the highest weight state is from SU2 sector. And in the mirror theory, they transform in anti-symmetric irreducible representations of the SU2/2 algebra, and the highest weight state is from SL2 sector. So again, we see that the role of SU2 and SL2 sectors are exchanged. And finally, we also discussed the physical region of these models. Since the model is not Lorentz invariant, the definition of a physical region is quite tricky, and we do not really have complete understanding of this question. But we argued that a fish, what we called fish, should be called a physical region, and what we called leaf should be called the physical region of the mirror theory. So, here is a fish, and this fish corresponds to a region on the Z-torus, so this is Z-torus. So it corresponds to a region of the Z-torus where absolute values of these variables x plus minus have absolute values greater than 1. And this leaf, it is the region where the imaginary part of x plus minus is less than 0. We could have considered also this part with imaginary part of x plus minus greater than 0. And this actually was a choice made by Nock and Yannick. I don't know why. I think this choice is better. And it's actually close again to conventional field theory prescriptions. So, in fact, in this TBA approach, the important region is not just fish or this leaf. It is the union of these two regions. And the dressing factor is a holomorphic function in the union of these two regions. So this is kind of the region. And you see that there is also an intersection between these two regions, which is actually quite good because it allows to use some analytic continuation for some computations. Okay, so these are Bethe-Jahn equations. So the S matrix, as you have seen, the S matrix is quite complicated, so the Bethe-Ansatz is nested. And the first equation is the equation for the fundamental particle, which carries the momentum p. So xpk tilde is the momentum of the mirror particle, and xk xl are these variables x plus minus introduced before. So yk is the auxiliary root corresponding to the second level of the nested Bethe-Ansatz, and vk is related to v is related to y by this formula. And W is an auxiliary root corresponding to the third level of the Bethe-Ansatz. So the root Y is a fermionic root. That means that the corresponding states are fermions. And this is the only fermion in this case. Okay, the Bethe-Jahn equations depend on the S matrix, S11, from the SL2 sector. And this S matrix has this form. And sigma 1, 2 is the dressing factor. So we see that this S matrix, SL2 S matrix, has a pole corresponding to this to x1 minus equal to x2 plus, and this pole leads to the existence of the bound states, q-particle bound states, and q-particle bound states are defined by this equation. And as I said, this q-particle bound states transform in the tensor product of two atypical antisymmetric irreducible representations of SU2 slash 2, centrally extended SU2 slash 2. Okay. So, as a result, the asymptotic spectrum consists of these fundamental particles and consists of q-particle bound states. And we need to know also the Beta-Yang equations, which describe the scattering of these q-particle bound states. And these equations can be, in fact, written just by using the usual fusion procedure. Actually, we didn't know for a while if the usual fusion procedure would work in this case. We had to compute a couple of bound status matrices and to check that it is indeed the case. So once we fuse the equations, we actually get equations which have absolutely the same form as for fundamental particle. So you see these are the equations for fundamental particle. Here we have S11, which describes the scattering of two fundamental particles. Once we fuse the equations, we get the same equations. The only difference now is that instead of 1-1 here, we have QK and QL, which corresponds to the fact that we can now scatter QK particle bound state with QL particle bound state. And PK now is the momentum carried by the QK particle bound state. Otherwise, everything is the same. No difference in the Beta-Yang equations. So this matrix here, the SL2 matrix, is obtained again just by fusing the fundamental matrices S11. Okay, now the next question, if you want to understand the thermodynamic, to derive the thermodynamic Beta equations, is to understand the structure of solutions to the Beta-Yang equations in the thermodynamic limit. So this limit, where the radius, the circumference of the mirror series goes to infinity, and the number of particles, the density of the particles is kept fixed, and it is true not only for physical particles, but also for auxiliary particles. So all these densities are fixed. And as usual, in condensed matter physics, this is done by formulating the corresponding string hypothesis. And after that, once the string hypothesis is formulated, the TBA equations are derived just by following a textbook route. And in our particular case, a very useful book is the book by these five authors on the one-dimensional Hubbard model, because the ADS5 crosses 5 mirror model have actually very many similarities with the Hubbard model. Okay, before I will formulate the string hypothesis, let me make some important comment. So let's consider a generic term in the first Beta-Yang equation for the physical particle of the mirror series. It has this structure, so we have this momentum, and then we have this SL2S matrix, which is unitary. And then we have these auxiliary roots, Y auxiliary roots, fermionic auxiliary roots. And then let's consider a complex conjugate of this equation and take into account that under complex conjugation, the parameters x plus minus transform in this way. So once we do it, this equation goes here. And we see that we can rewrite this equation now in this form, just by inverting it. And then we can compare these two equations, and we see that a single y root must be on the unit circle, because for a single y root, yl alpha must be equal to yl alpha 1 over yl alpha star complex conjugate. So the absolute value for a single y root, the absolute value of y must be equal to 1, and V, which is equal to Y plus 1 over Y, as a result, must take values from minus 2 to 2. This is important for for the thermodynamic limit because this will define us the support of the corresponding densities of these y particles. So if y roots are not on the circle, on the unit circle, then they must come in pairs. And in fact, these pairs at the end lead to a so-called V double string configurations, which I will show in a moment. So let me formulate the string hypothesis for the mirror model. So in the thermodynamic limit, with these ratios fixed, the solutions of the beta-Young equations arrange themselves into seven different classes of beta strings. So these configurations are called beta strings because they are very similar to the usual beta strings of the Heisenberg model. So first class is a single q-particle bound state with real momentum pk tilde, and we will refer to this q-particle bound state just as q-particle. Then we have a single y-particle corresponding to root y alpha with absolute value of y alpha equal to 1. So alpha takes two values, 1 and 2, because we have because the symmetry algebra is a direct sum of two PSU2/2 algebras. So we have two copies of these algebras and two copies of the roots. And then we have VW strings, and they are composed of two M roots Y alpha, fermionic roots Y alpha, and M roots W. And this is the precise configuration of the VW string. And the center of this VW string is denoted by V here, and it takes values on the real line R. Since we have 2m fermionic roots, the corresponding configuration is a boson, not a fermion. And finally, we have a W string, which is the usual beta string. So we have n roots W combined in this string configuration. And again, the center of this string configuration belongs to the real line. In fact, these two these configurations of W string and VW string are the same configurations as appear in the Hubbard model, which actually makes the story much simpler and allows us to believe that it is the right string hypothesis. There is no proof of the string hypothesis. That's why it is called string hypothesis. I do not think that it was proven even for the Hubbard model. Do we have here any expert who could say if it was proved?
For a Hubbard model, you can have a Hamiltonian.
Yeah.
You can diagonalize the Hamiltonian.
Yeah.
And solve the
Bidens attribution,
you can compare.
Yeah, numerically. Yes. So you can give some evidence.
Yes.
Yeah, but you don't have really mathematical proof. I think it was proven only for the Heisenberg model, the string hypothesis. Which ones? You want well, I don't know. What do you mean? It looks natural to me. These are the equations. So these equations actually, the last two equations are the same as the beta equations for the inhomogeneous Hubbard model. So these parameters x plus minus can be interpreted as some kind of inhomogeneities for the Hubbard model. And that's why we believe that it is the right string hypothesis, because of this relation to the Hubbard model. This relation to the Hubbard model has been known since 2005, I think, or maybe 6, from Bassert's paper in the case of string theory. And in the mirror theory, the relation actually is even closer, because in the mirror theory, there is a limit of the physical momentum p tilde, which gives us just a normal beta equations for the Hubbard model. For string theory, there is no such limit of a physical momentum. So that's why we believe that it is the right hypothesis. Okay, so we're will be. Yeah, now, so just to mention one subtlety here. As I said, there are two models here, the mirror model and the string, light cone string model. And it is really necessary to be very careful in formulating the string hypothesis because they are basically almost the same. You see, if you consider the same thermodynamic limit for the light cone string theory, we will also get a single Q particle. We also get W strings, and they will be absolutely the same as for the mirror model. Well, the only difference is that here we would have to consider the real momentum of the light cone string theory, not of the mirror theory. The real difference is here. A single Y particle in this case corresponds to the root Y, which takes real values on the real line. And as a result, the integral equations have very different properties. So it's really necessary to pay attention to this fact. So to describe the limit, let me introduce the function x of u by this formula. So we have this minus I here and square root of 4 minus u squared. So this function has the property that the imaginary part of this function is less than 0 for any u on the complex u plane. And in fact, this function maps the u plane onto the physical region of the mirror theory, onto the leaf I showed you before. And the cuts in the u plane run from plus minus infinity to plus minus 2, as is obvious from this square root. And then this function has also the property that the absolute value of this function is equal to 1 for values of u from minus 2 to 2. So you may want to compare this function also with the well-known function which people usually use in ADS-CFT correspondence with this function x sub s of u, which is defined by this formula here with plus sign and square root of u squared minus 4. So this function has the property that the absolute value of this function is greater than 1. And in fact, this function maps the u plane onto the physical region of the string model. Both functions are important for the TBA program because eventually we want to go from the physical region of the mirror theory to the physical region of the light cone string theory. So the cuts here are from minus 2 to 2. Okay, so here is the thermodynamic limit. So as I said, we have the string hypothesis, so we have all the particles. And now we just introduce the densities of particles and densities of holes. The consideration is absolutely standard, as I said. We just follow this Karapin's book on the one-dimensional Hubbard model. So we have a density of Q particles with the parameter U running from minus infinity to plus infinity, and we have infinitely many of Q particles. Then we have a density of Y particles with imaginary part of Y less than 0. And these particles have support only on the interval from minus 2 to 2. And the Y coordinate is expressed in terms of U as just Y is equal to X of U. And then we also have the density of Y particles with imaginary part greater than U, than 0. Again, the support is from minus 2 to 2, and the y coordinate is 1 over x of u. Then we have densities of MVW strings and densities of MW strings. And again, we have infinitely many of them, and densities of corresponding holes. So then, which ones? Because, as I said, a single Y particle must have absolute value of Y equal to 1. They are on the unit circle. So we divide this unit circle into upper semicircle and lower semicircle. And then we can parameterize them by using this function X of U. And as a result, since absolute value of X of U is equal to 1 for U from minus 2 to 2, the support of this densities is also from minus 2 to 2. So these are densities of fermions because Y particles are the only fermions in the model. Okay, then we take the Betajan equations written for the real centers of the string configurations, and in the thermodynamic limit, these equations become the integral equations written in the standard, absolutely general form. P tilde here does not vanish only for Q particles. So I here denotes a sort of the particle, so it could be anything, Q particle, Y particle, W string. So it is a generalized index. And the star operation here is a convolution, which in our case is defined in this way. And the kernels here are expressed through the corresponding S matrices by this formula. So it is just a logarithmic derivative of the S matrix, of the corresponding S matrix. And since the S matrix is unitary, these kernels are real. So the only subtlety here and difference with the usual relativistic case is that these kernels depend on two parameters, U and U prime. In fact, we also need, so we can think about this as a left action of the kernel K of the operator K on the functions rho, but we also need the right action. We will need the right action defined by this formula. So the kernel K acts on the function rho in this way. And we also sum over repeated indices over the indices J. Okay, now we can compute the free energy. Better to say, as I said, we need to know the Witten's index and also the free energy to describe the both sectors. And to this end, we consider generalized free energy, which is given by this expression here. So E, this curly E, is the energy per unit length carried by Q particles. Q particles are the only particles, physical particles, with non-vanishing energy. And this is the expression for E. S is the total entropy of the system. This I gamma over L plays the role of a chemical potential, but it is purely imaginary. And then an F alpha is the fermionic number, which counts the number of Y particles. And this difference as a result is equal to this expression here. And we also need a relative minus sign between these numbers. Otherwise, this expression, the generalized free energy, would not be real. So if gamma, if this parameter gamma is equal to pi, we get Witten's index. If gamma is equal to zero, we get the usual free energy. Okay, so this is the expression, and now what we need to do, we need to minimize the free energy to derive the thermodynamic Betanzas equations. And since we have these integral equations which relate the density of particles and density of holes, the variations are related between themselves. So we use this relation, we minimize the free energy, and we get these equations. Again, this is the most general form of the equations which follows, which is true for any model. This epsilon k is a so-called pseudo-energy, and it is related to the density of particles and density of holes by this formula. So e to the I gamma k minus epsilon k is equal to the ratio of density of particles and density of holes. So after that, once we have this equation, we can actually compute the free energy at the extremum. And we get this, again, general expression here. So, and finally, we can use this expression to find the energy of the ground state of the light cone string theory. And it is given just by this formula here. So only Q particles carry energy, and as a result, only Q particles appear in the formula for the energy of the model, ground state energy of the model. Okay, so these are the equations which follow from the string hypothesis for the Mir theory. Equivalent set of TBA equations we also derived by Bombardieri, Fioranti, and Tateo, and by Gromov, Kazakov, Kazak, and Viera. They also proposed, they were brave enough to propose a set of equations for excited states. So these equations are very complicated. As you see, we have sums over repeated indices everywhere here. So we have infinitely many terms in any of these equations. Tell more. It's an infinite set of equations. On the right-hand side, we have infinite sums. So we need to solve these equations, and that's extremely complicated. And moreover, at the time when we wrote these equations, we did not know this Dressing kernel corresponding to the SL2S matrix, because we didn't know the mirror dressing factor. So it was done later in at the end of March, beginning or at the end of April, beginning of May. So this dressing kernel, SL2 dressing kernel, is related to the S matrix in the standard way. The S matrix can be written in this form, where S is a kind of simple standard S matrix, which depends only on U rapidity variable. And this capital sigma is related to the analytically continued BS dressing factor by this formula. So we have the usual dressing factor. We have to multiply this by this prefactor, and then we have to take this product. So this x plus minus j and x plus minus k of u prime, these are constituents of the bound states of the model. What is important and non-trivial here is that this expression here, this capital sigma, and we call this improved dressing factor, this capital sigma appears to be a holomorphic function in the physical region of the mirror model. So it plays basically the role of the dressing factor there. Okay, still the equations are extremely complicated and we need to simplify them. So let me show you the simplified set of equations. It is useful to introduce so-called Y functions by these formulas as exponentials of the pseudo-densities. And then we also introduce two standard kernels, Km, and function S of U, or kernel S of U, defined by this formula. And then we also need one more kernel, which is defined like that, and the kernel KQY, which is defined like that. So these last two kernels, they appear in the S matrices, which describe the scattering of Y particles, fermions of the model with other models. Yeah? With other particles, yes? Yeah. It is the energy of the ground state. So for you see, we have this parameter H here. Yeah. So if H is related to gamma, as gamma is equal to pi plus H. Yeah, so H is equal to zero corresponds to Witten's index, and it corresponds to the BPS bound state. So the energy must vanish if H is equal to zero. If H is equal to pi, we get a sector with antiperiodic fermions, and the vacuum in this sector is non-BPS, and the energy does not vanish. You mean from a DCFT point of view, it is a conformal dimension of a dual field theory operator. I will comment on this in a moment. Yeah. In any case, so these are the kernels, and after that, this is a simplified set of TBA equations. And as you see, it is already much simpler. It's still quite complicated, but it is much simpler because it is almost local. This equation for a fixed M depends only on a finite number of Y functions. This term appears only for M equal to 1. And in fact, this is kind of a standard equation which appears in basically any relativistic model. The same is true for equation for M BW string. It is also has a local form. Equation for fermionic particles, unfortunately, are still quite complicated, and they involve these infinite sums. And we are not sure if we can really get rid of these infinite sums here. But they are still much simpler than the original equations, than the canonical TBA equations. Then the equations for Q particles for Q greater than greater than equal to 2 have also local form. And finally, we have an equation for q equal to 1 particle. It has this form here. So it is also kind of local, but it depends also on this delta. Yeah, on this delta. And this delta appears to be rather complicated. At least it looks like a complicated expression. But in fact, it depends on kernels, which are all very simple. And moreover, we do not really have a dressing factor anymore. The dressing factor disappears. It is replaced by this kernel K Q sigma check, which is much more simple than the original dressing factor. So we believe that this set of equations actually should be the starting set of equations for computing energies of excited states numerically and analytically too, because it's just much simpler. Okay. So in fact, this delta also. Yes, it is an exact transformation. Yeah. So we had to use the properties of the dressing factor we determined at the end of April, beginning of May, so to find this expression here. But it is an exact transformation. Yeah. So this delta of U, in fact, determines analytic properties of the Y system on the U plane, which was proposed by Громов, Казаков, and Вера. And as a result, the Y system actually has very intricate and non-trivial properties, which should be studied. So let me just maybe comment on this very shortly. The Y system equations are obtained from this simplified form of equations in a very simple way. All we need to do is to find an operator which is inverse to this operator S. And this operator is defined like that. And then it could be checked that S inverse is equal to the delta function. In general, S inverse S is not equal to 1. So there is a huge kernel for the operator S inverse. So once we introduce this operator and act by this operator on this equation, we get this set of equations. For m greater than 1, we get this equation here. And this equation, again, is the standard Y system equation. Then we get this equation here in the interval for u from minus 2 to 2. And this equation coincides with one of the equations in the GKV Y system. Unfortunately, when u is greater than 2, we get this equation here. So this contribution disappears because the functions y plus minus take values from minus 2 to 2. And we see from that Y system actually requires that the analytic continuation of these functions y plus minus would be such that y plus is equal to y minus for u, absolute value of u greater than 2. It is a non-trivial requirement because if you take a look now again at the TBA equations, we see that if y plus is equal to y minus, then this infinite sum must vanish, which imposes highly non-trivial conditions on the YQ functions. Okay, I have to... From minus 2 to 2. Here, from minus 2 to 2. Not here. Here, from minus infinity to infinity. So it depends on the support of the functions. Okay? Okay, so ground state energy. I have to hurry up, really. I guess I have like 1 minute left. Zero. Okay, let's assume that it is 5. After all, we are all doing many approximations now. So for h equal to 0, we are supposed to get the vanishing energy. And the solution, the naively, would be just that one. Yq would be equal to 0. Y plus minus would be equal to 1. And y functions for vw and w strings would be non-vanishing. However, there is a subtlety here related to the fact that if yq is equal to 0, the TBA equation for yq for q particles is ill-defined. We get log of 0. So we have really, and the same is true actually for this term, which also gives us 1 if y plus is equal to 0, if y plus is equal to 1 and h is equal to 0. So we need to consider h non-vanishing and then take the limit h goes to 0. Then the y functions would have this expansion. And we will see that the last term here behaves as log h when we plug this expansion here. And as a result, the equation reduces to that one. We get minus log yq is equal to minus 2 log h star k yq plus finite terms. So as a result, we see that, and then taking into account this property of the kernel kyq, we find out that the function yq must behave as h squared bq. And as a result, the ground state energy has this expansion, and it starts from h squared, but not h, which is actually the usual case for relativistic theories. So then we can solve the TBA equations in this case, in the leading order in h, and the solution is given by these formulas here. So it has q squared e to the minus l epsilon tilde q, and the density, the y functions for vw and w strings are just equal to m squared minus 1. So they are constant. Okay, so now, since the energy of the mirror series is equal to log of x cube minus minus x cube plus, then the yq functions can be written in this form. And we see immediately that since x, the function x of u has cuts on the u-plane, that they are not analytic on the u-plane. However, if we use the z torus rapidity variable, then the ratio of x plus over x minus is equal to this expression here. And we see immediately that yq functions are meromorphic on the z torus if the length of the system, which is equal to the inverse temperature of the mirror series, is integer or half integer. So we see that, in fact, the length of the model or the temperature of the model is quantized if we impose the requirement that yq is an analytic function on the z torus. And let me recall you that the length is identified with the charge carried by the string, and this charge must be quantized by the PSU2,2/4 invariance of the model. One funny fact is that the energy actually diverges for L equal to 2, which is the smallest charge carried by the string. Okay, so we can also compute this generalized Lüscher formula and also get agreement. And I don't have time to discuss the Y system. I hope that next speaker will do it in all possible details. I just mentioned that most probably it will be held in this form. So it is a tricky thing. So let me finish by concluding that the most important step now is to find TBA equations for excited states energies. And to this end, we hope to be able to use Patrick Dory and Tateo trick. And then once we formulate this conjecture, these TBA equations, it would be necessary to reproduce known field theory and string theory results. And this is a very short list of the known results. And until all these results are reproduced, we would not be able to say that these are the right equations. Then it would be necessary to compute anomalous dimension of the Kanish operator up to 12 loops. Jan is here, I guess. And then we also want to compute anomalous dimension of the Kanish operator for any lambda. It was done recently, last week, by Gromov, Kazakov, and Viera. The precision, however, is not really that good because they use this canonical form of the TBA equations. The expansion parameter actually is equal to about 1/2, which is not really a very small expansion parameter. So I think it's really necessary to do this computation by using this simplified set of TBA equations. And then once we have TBA equations for all excited states, we would have to prove PSU2,2/4 invariance of the string spectrum. We also have to prove gauge invariance, gauge independence of the string spectrum, because light cone gauge depends on some unphysical parameters. And finally, we really have to understand the Y system on the infinite genus Riemann surface, because that could lead us to non-linear integral equations, to a finite set of non-linear integral equations, which are usually much more efficient for studying the spectrum. Okay, thank you very much.
Thank you very much. Niklas is going to have an announcement, but first maybe time for a few questions.
What do you mean by expansion parameter 1/2? Numerics, of course, is pretends to be exact. Or you speak about large lambda or what?
No, I speak about the fact that the largest value of lambda you used is 700.
You think it's not...
Real expansion parameter is 1 over string tension, 1 over square root of g, and you can easily find out that is about 1/2.
That's
so
true.
You expand in 1/2 to some power at large values of lambda, which is not really very good.
Yes, but you want to say that something will happen a bit later with this nice curve, because it looks completely smooth.
The expression parameter is 1/2. I don't know what happens. I'm saying...
We are not expanding in whatever. Okay.
Yeah, so you will show us, you will explain definitely us how we did the computation. But I really think that it's worth redoing this. There is no radius of convergence. It is an asymptotic expansion for large values of lambda. I know, yeah.
So. Okay. First, I'm confused about what you have now actually computed. So, You did this little H expansion. If I understood correctly, H equal to zero, which should correspond to a zero energy BPS
right.
state.
And we see that it is zero energy.
Because it's proportional to H squared, the
yes.
energy. Okay.
Oops.
But and then with your technology, you could compute the lightest non-BPS, so the
so
Kanishi state,
yeah.
with H
yeah,
equal
so
to pi.
So H equal to pi should give the energy of... the non-BPS ground state. The funny fact is that I do not really know a dual field theory operator. So there, we definitely know that there must exist a field theory operator dual to this state, but I do not know what it is.
So it would not be Kanishi?
No, it's not Kanishi. Kanishi is from the BPS sector. It is a lone operator, so it is related to the winding number carried by the string. So it basically the lowest energy state with the winding number equal to 1. So a string wraps once around the equator of S5. And so it is a very, very long string configuration.
Yeah. One more question. Sorry. So on your conclusions,
yeah.
do you now agree that you lost our bet? Because point 3, say, is not fulfilled?
So what?
That we do not know Kanishi 2-12 loops.
Well, we do know 5-loop Kanishi, right, from the computation.
No, no, yeah, but not to 12. So, we had this bet.
12 loop, we...
Did you lose or did you...
We need... Oh, you mean, did I lose?
Yeah.
Well, you decide.
Okay.
You should ask next speaker
yeah.
if you lost.
So, just for the record, so your first point is find TBA equation to account for excited state
yeah.
energy. Now, my understanding is that the next two speakers will propose such equations. So, do you mean by find, just for the record, do you think that those equations which will be talked about in the next two talks are wrong? Do you just mean that they are not proven yet?
First of all, I think that they are not proven yet. And second, when I said find TBA equations, I meant all possible states, not just SL2 sector. The equations are known only for the SL2 sector. They are known they are not known even for SU2 sector or SU1/1 sector. So we want to have something like Weissert-Staudacher equations only for finite J, for finite lengths. And this problem has not been solved yet. As to the SL2 equations, the proposal looks very simple. And I, honestly speaking, just don't know. Maybe it works.
But I thought the claim was for your competitors that they, in principle, whatever in principle means, that they found these generalized BS equations.
No.